Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
This morning, the title of our message is The Budding Rod. The Budding Rod. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Verse number 3 to verse number 4. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 3 to verse number 4. The Bible says, "And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden center and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant." So these are the contents of the Ark of the Covenant. In the tabernacle of Moses, we may have heard about it. It's a tabernacle that God commanded his servant Moses to collect offerings from the children of Israel and build him a tabernacle. So each time that pattern has not changed, each time God wants to be built a house, he will require some people to give. Amen. So God instructed Moses to talk to the children of Israel so that he can build him a tabernacle so that he may dwell with them. The reason why God wants us to build him a house, it is because he wants to dwell with us. The book of Exodus, chapter number 25, verse number 1 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. With his heart you shall take my offering." It was an instruction from God because God wanted this tabernacle built. Hallelujah. And also in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25, verse number 8 to 9, it's projected. It says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you." That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So God did not leave it to Moses' discretion how to furnish this house that he wanted from him through the offerings of the children of Israel. He did not leave it up to them to build it, and he also did not leave it up to them to furnish it. So let us look at the furnishings of this tabernacle of Moses, and we will know, and maybe if you do not know, we are just going to summarize it, that it was divided into three. So in other words, you can just say it was a three-roomed house. Hallelujah. It was a three-roomed house. So it was divided into three sections, and these sections were the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And there were a total of seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. So as I said, God instructed him and gave him a pattern on how to build, but he did not just leave it up to him how to furnish what he has built. So he told him what to furnish and how to furnish it. So there were seven pieces of furniture in this tabernacle. In the outer court, there was a brazen altar, and the brazen altar talks of sacrifice. There was also the laver, which speaks of sanctification. Last week, we spoke about the laver, and we spoke about, when we were talking about the men in the mirror, we spoke about the laver, that it was made out of the mirrors of women, and each time they would go and approach the presence of God, They would go into the Holy of Holies. They will have to come into contact with this piece of furniture, which is the laver, so that they may be sanctified, so that they may be able to appear before the King of Kings in all of his glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. And there was then the holy place. And in the holy place, there was the lampstand. And the lampstand, Mfundisi has taught us about it, and we are not going to dwell. It's just so that we have an understanding of the tabernacle of Moses. But this lampstand speaks of revelation by the Holy Spirit. And then there was also the table of showbread, because that one symbolizes Jesus, the bread of life. The word of God, which we were taught about last week, because the Bible says, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus is clearly painted in the Bible as the bread of life. He is the one we are to consume. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, and there was also the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer, praise, and worship. And then there was the holy place. Another room was the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was, tabernacle was divided into these three sections, which is the first dimension, the second dimension, and the third dimension. Hallelujah. We are not going to dwell into that. I'm sure Mfundisi one day will teach us about that. But when we speak about the Holy of Holies, we are speaking about the dimension of God. We are speaking about the dimension of the glory of God. We are speaking about the fullness of God, who he is and what he is capable of. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are talking about the glory of God. And in the Holy of Holies, this third dimension, this third part, or this third section of the tabernacle, there was a furniture which was called the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this is the Old Testament, but in the book of Hebrews, which is now the New Testament, the New Testament then gives us a picture of the tabernacle with the veil torn. Because remember, when Jesus died, the veil was torn. The veil was torn. Why? Because now there is no need for someone to go on our behalf. We can be able to ungena kalagata in the Holy of Holies and encounter the glory of God. Somebody say amen. That's a work that was done by Jesus Christ. As the firstborn, he came with the blood once and for all, and he entered the Holy of Holies. He entered the dimension of the glory of God once and for all. And guess who was following? Those who love him and those who have accepted him as the personal Lord and Savior. He's our ticket to the glory. Torn the veil. Umfundisi last, it was not last week, it was yesterday when he was preaching at that Muso event, he touched on the fact that when the veil was torn, when Jesus died and he entered once and for all, but he tore the veil so that we can also enter. He says the veil was so heavy in such a way that it was humanly impossible to lift it up. That is why Jesus had to make sure that it is torn, so that us who are coming after him don't have to lift the veil, but we can just enter into the holiest of all. Hallelujah. So Jesus did the hard work. And in the book of Hebrews, then we see the picture of the Holy of Holies after the veil has been torn. And when we see it in the New Testament, we see that then the altar of incense is now inside the Holy of Holies. So it is important that you do not pray, praise, and worship God in the first, the second, but you must go to the third dimension. You must get into the glory. You must get into the holiest of all. As a child of God who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have every right to get into the holy of holies. Somebody say amen. And now, the ark speaks of the throne and the glorious presence of God. Am I not connected? Oh, okay, sure. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant, which was a piece of furniture found in the third dimension, in the dimension of the glory of God, speaks of the glorious presence of God. It was before the Ark of the Covenant where God came down in his glory to meet with the high priest, and it was once a year. And look at us now. We can get into the glory, get into his presence, get into the third dimension without counting. Countless number of times, every day, any moment, any time. Why? Because the veil has been torn. Later on, they put certain things inside this ark of the covenant. They put the Ten Commandments telling us that in the days of glory, God wants to write his laws in our hearts. He does not want us to go around living by the law, paging through the pages to see what is allowed and what is not allowed. But God has made it easy for us to say that he is now going to put the law, his law, inside our hearts. He's going to write his commandments in the tablets of our hearts. With Moses, they wrote the law in the tablets of stone. But with us, he is writing his laws in the tablets of our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That is why if you are a person of the glory, you are a person of the third dimension, you're the person who enters in the glory of God, you're a child of God, and you own what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you at the cross of Calvary. You are a person who is always convicted by certain things that are not in line with the will of God for born-again Christians. Why? Why is that? Because there is no one who keeps telling you that according to this page, this is the law. But it is because they are the commandments that are already written in your heart, in the tablets of your heart, that wherever you go, even if you don't have your physical Bible with you, but the Spirit of God has written the law of God in your heart by the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Now, they put the Ten Commandments, and they also put the golden pot of manna, which still speaks of the nature and the character and the sustaining power of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us that in the days of the glory, we cannot only survive by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jesus Christ, who has given us the access into the Holy of Holies. The golden pot of manna speaks about the word of God, because manna was to be eaten every day. And last week we spoke about the fact that you are going to get hungry as a Christian if you do not eat the scroll, if you do not eat the word every day. That is why I'm going to urge us to make sure that the devotions don't go to waste. There is a great system that has been created in this church. It is just for us to be able on a daily to eat the scroll. Somebody say amen. So there was that golden pot of manna, which is the sustaining power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread himself. Hallelujah. There is no bread that satisfies more than the bread of life himself, which is Jesus, our Savior. And also in that ark of the covenant, there was then the rod of Aaron that budded. So these three things that are now inside the ark of the covenant, they are very significant to us as the New Testament believers, because even though Jesus had torn the veil, the ark speaks of the presence of God. So when we approach the presence of God, when we approach the glory of God, we must expect to see all of these things, because they were in the ark of the covenant. And all of these things are supposed to be in effect in our lives. All of these things are supposed to help us in our walk with God. All of these things are supposed to make sure that our journey with God, our journey to our destinies, our journey to fulfill the purpose that God has for us is affected by them, because they are found in the presence of God. As we are continuing talking about the rod of Aaron that budded, I want you to put it in your minds and in your hearts and in your spirit, the fact that it is very critical that as a child of God, when you approach His glory, you must expect your calling to be fruitful. You must expect each and everything that God has called you to do to be fruitful. Why? Because when God calls us as His children, calling us to wherever He is calling us, but he calls us and He empowers us and He gives us rods. When He empowers us for what He has called us for, He gives us rods. Moses was instructed by God to deliver the children of Israel from the land of bondage. And He did not just only say to him, Moses, go and do this assignment for me. But He made sure that one party sinto etizeni, and this thing was a rod. Others call it a staff, and other versions call it a staff, but this is what God said to him. He said to him, what do you have in your hand? And he said, I have a rod. He said, I have a staff. There is something that God, even from the beginning, Jeremiah, from before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet. In other words, Jeremiah, I did not bring you here empty-handed. There is something that you carry. There is a staff that you have in your hand. There's a rod that you have in your hand. In this case, Moses is being asked by God to do a very tough project to make sure that he takes out the children of Israel from the land of bondage into the promised land. And he gives him a staff. In scripture, we see this rod producing water from the rock. In scripture, we also see the very same rock opening the Red Sea. In scripture, we see the very same rock transforming into a snake and does not remain a snake, but also transforms back to a snake, to a rod. Why? Because whatever it is that God has put in your hand has got power to open certain things for you. Whatever it is that God, may I just pause and let you know that you do not have to change who God has called you to be. That you do not have to change who God has made you to be, because that is exactly what will begin to open Red Seas for you. That is what is going to begin to cause you to be able to experience miracles, signs, and wonders. Let me tell you, Bazalwane, what you carry has the capability of producing wonders. So there is no need for you to be covetous of what other people carry. There is no need for you to be jealous of what other people carry. Why? Because the very thing that you have, no matter how insignificant it can be, it may look rather. But let me tell you something. It is powerful. And it is able to produce miracles, signs, and wonders. This was a weapon to deal with anything that would oppose him on the way. Because While we are on the way to our destinies, while we are on the way to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives, we are going to face opposition. And as we face opposition in our callings, there is a rod that God has given us. There is a rod that God has given us. And this rod is a rod of priesthood. The rod here speaks of fruitfulness in your calling. It was a seal of Aaron's priesthood. Does it sound familiar that you are also priesthood? For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. So you also have a rod. Aaron was confirmed by this rod. Moses and Aaron had these rods in their hands, which God used to perform great miracles. And I see God using your rod to perform great miracles in your life. You don't need something else. You need exactly what you have. And God can be able to use the very thing that you have to make sure that he performs great miracles. Somebody say amen. So in your calling and in your walk with God, there is a rod that he has given you. And this rod, it is so that you can execute your calling. God does not call us and leave us alone. God calls us and equips us. He equips us with these rods so that whatever tries to come against us, we are able to deal with it. I don't know if you remember the Red Sea. The Red Sea was there to be a stumbling block between Moses and the Promised Land. It was there so that it can cause them not to get to a place which God has called them to. And the rod came to play. Somebody say amen. And the miracle was performed. Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 2 says, "So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A rod.'" Maybe God is asking someone this morning, "What is that in your hand?" Maybe you have been seeing it as just another talent, as just another gift. But this morning, God is saying, "That's a rod I've given you." You may think that maybe it's just because I am intelligent, I went to school. And this morning, God is saying, "That's the rod I have given you." Somebody's eyes are being opened this morning to see what they have in their hands. Moses carried this staff for a long time and didn't know its potential until God opened his eyes and said, "What do you have in your hand?" And this morning, God is asking somebody under the sound of my voice, "What do you have in your hand? You've been crying so much. You've been crying for so long, trying to get some things that you do not have to perform miracles, signs and wonders in your life. But God is saying, please stop looking far and start looking in your hand. Start looking within. What is it that I have given you? What is it that I have equipped you with? What is it that you do and you do with ease?" Somebody say amen. Amen. It was a staff that he thought it was because of Malusi. It was a staff that he thought it is because I'm supposed to tend sheep. But he did not realize that it was a weapon of mass destruction. Somebody has a weapon in this place, and that weapon is a weapon of mass destruction. If only your eyes can be opened to see the rod that you have or the staff that you carry. Somebody say amen. Amen. So no matter how much your calling, your gift, or the project at hand looks like is not showing fruit, please declare that in these days of his glory, in these days of his signs, in these days of his wonders, I am going to see my rod being fruitful. I am going to see my calling taking another shape. I am going to see my gift functioning at another level. I am going to see this project producing fruit that it has never produced before. I'm going to see this business producing fruit that it has never produced before. I am going to see my career taking another shape. I am going to see what God has called me into becoming a place and a space where I am able to express the glory of God. And the glory of God speaks of His presence, of His power, and of His prosperity. So if you are going to allow your gifts and your callings and your talents and your businesses and your careers to even have give room for the glory of God to find expression, it means in that sphere of influence where God has called you to, you are going to experience His presence, you are going to experience His power, and you are going to experience His prosperity. Gone are the days whereby we get the same results as the people who do not carry the power of God. I declare this morning that under the sound of my voice, gone are the days that we are going to produce just like any other man, because the Bible promises us that when we behold, we become transformed unto His likeness from glory to glory. So in other words, we do not remain in the same dimension of the glory. We do not remain in the same level of the glory. This morning I want a believer who's going to be angry enough, who's going to be so cross enough to say, this has been going on for far too long. It's time I shifted gears. It's been a long time since my business has been operating from the outer court. Oh, I am advancing. It's been a long time since my business or my career has been operating from the holy place. But in the days of His glory, where that veil has been torn and the Ark of the Covenant is available for me, I declare I'm going to be fruitful. I declare I'm going to see how God is able to turn an ordinary staff, an ordinary rod, an ordinary calling, an ordinary talent, an ordinary gift, an ordinary career into a wonder. Somebody shout wonder. Aye, somebody shout wonder. Oh, they are going to say, what a wonder. And you are going to say, but I'm just a technician. No, you are not just a technician. You are a technician that operates from the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. You are not just a doctor. A doctor who ascends the throne. You're not just a manager. You're a manager who ascends the throne. That's why it's important to know how to get into the presence. Because then, after you went into the presence in the secret place, remember the veil has already been torn. So you have access to the glory. You go every morning and you get your portion or your fix of the glory. And then you go to the office with the portion of the glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. I declare that your rod will bud. I declare that your rod must bud. Doesn't matter how much of no results you have experienced, but this morning I want you to be angry enough and say, my rod must bud. And say, my rod must bud. Let me put context in this rod that budded in the book of Numbers, chapter number 17. I encourage you to go home and read both chapters, chapter number 16 and chapter number 17. Chapter number 16, as we said, Moses and Aaron had rods that God had given them, the rods of priesthood. Angithi, they were priests. And then what happened was the children of Israel turned against them. Just like you, people turning against you at work. just like you, people turning against you, friends turning against you, just like you, people you are leading at work, you are even contemplating resigning because it is toxic at work. People are rising up against you. Let me tell you something, it is not the first. Some of us, the solution is not to leave. The solution is to cause our rod to bud. So what happened was that the children of Israel turned against their leader Moses and Aaron, and they spoke certain things to them which were not good. And the Bible says Moses was so angry. The man there is called, Korah. That's the man who instigated the whole thing. Yeah. And he turned the children of Israel against their leader, Moses. And the Bible says Moses was so angry, and even God himself was angry. And then Moses made a plan. Because he was a leader, there was nothing he could have done. He wanted to stand in the gap between God and these people who are rebelling against the plan of God and against the leader that has been placed by God before them. And then he said, okay, no problem. Since you have questions and you have concerns and you have and all of these complaints that you are complaining about, please then let's take an incense. Everyone, oziswayo, akathathi incense and go and burn it before the glory of God. Big mistake. And they agreed, and they went, and they started to burn the incense. And the Bible says, go all 250 of them. Ay, asilfundeni. Hey, Bazaran. Leta la ngifundele lona ungazuthi mamfundise uthi. Sikunambasa ngithi. Noma ngangalivula nje ungithembe uzofika ulibheke. Kha ngithi ama brilliant nawo ayenza kanjalo. Bukake ukora turned people against Moses, and then you read the story that I have just given you. And in verse number 32, don't go there, listen to me. In verse number 32, after they had burnt the incense, ain't it? After they thought, you know what, whatever it is that Moses and Aaron can do, we can also do. They thought since they were able to burn the incense in front of the glory of God, in front of the Holy of Holies, then we can also be able to do it. Because they said, you want to make us slaves. They were complaining. Verse number 32, we understand again. Uti, so it says, let me give it context. It says, let me start from verse 30. It says, but if the Lord brings about something totally new, then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea. You see how angry Moses was? That getting you out of bondage and going with you, seeing all of these miracles, seeing all of these signs and wonders, it was not my idea. It was the idea of God. In fact, Moses was short of saying, I did not ask for this. I did not ask for this. God could have chosen any of you to be a leader, but he chose me. It was not my idea. I'm not the one who lifted up my hand to say, Lord, let me be the one who leads the children of Israel from the land of bondage into the land or into the promised land. He says, this was not my idea. And he says, if these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. That's how angry he was. He said, these people who say, I don't have to lead them, and I made a mistake, and God made a mistake by choosing Aaron, then they think that they can also be able to burn incense. Probably they thought they can even burn it better. And he said, if anything ordinary happens to them, then know that God has not sent me. So in other words, he was declaring war. He was saying, let's see who's who in the zoo. Verse number 30 says, but if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. Verse number 31 says, as soon as he finished saying all this, the ground opened. The ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah, together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. The earth closed over them and they perished and were gone from the community. They were wiped out, never to be remembered. Nothing of them, not even a shirt or a trouser, not even their shoes, nor their houses. The earth opened its mouth where they were. All 250 of them went down alive and were buried alive. Not just them to leave their wives remembering them. Not just them leaving their children to be remembered by. No, not even their households. Nothing that belonged to them survived the wrath of God after they've challenged someone who was called by God. I see people being swallowed on because they are challenging you. Yes, because you are a priest. Remember, we said you are a royal priesthood, and there is a rod of priesthood that has already been given to you. And let me tell you something, when you carry the rod of priesthood, when God has called you and you are settled in your calling, in your gifting, in your talent, in your career, let me tell you something, forge forward, mtana sekhaya, do not be shy to go into the lion's den. Do not be shy to go after that which God has called you to do, because those who are going to oppose you, the earth is going to open and swallow them. It will not be physical, just like in the Old Testament, where everything, but they are bazobuna. Bephila, wakwambona umuntu ephila kodwa umbonza ufile. Yeah, people who like challenging people. Well, they don't even know what is this all about. Fupila, earth swallows you. May it never be our story. But may it be the stories of those who come against us and what God has called us to do. Yeah, the earth opened and swallowed them. Listen, chapter number 17. Ingwenya lezi azizwa. They just saw Korah baze basho bathi it means the plague is here, we are all gonna die, because all 200 people just got swallowed by the earth in front of their eyes. The Bible says they ran away and they were crying. But still, because the enemy will never rest. No matter how called you are, no matter how anointed you are, no matter how motivated by the words that the pastor just preached, no matter the rod, and you can see that I, man, my rod is the rod of rods. It's the rod. Hallelujah. There will always be opposition. The enemy does not give up. In chapter 17, Bayabuya. After seeing such a thing, they come back. They make a return, murmuring again, rebelling again, still challenging Aaron and his priesthood. And Moses says, okay, all right, no problem. I can see that I'm delang. Somebody say, kona banga delang. Ah, kuna belungu, kuna belungu banga delang m'sebenzin. Yeah. They have not had enough of the wrath of your God. They keep coming back for more. Closing doors for you. Making life difficult for you at work. It's high time we rise up with our rod and say, whether you are previously disadvantaged or advantaged, I come with the rod of priesthood. I'm called here. You can't be closing doors for me forever. I'm called for this. It's time I wave my rod. Called for this. You are not going to be closing doors every time. You are making my life miserable. You even have more than I do. You have even an advantage. Just by showing up with your skin, you have an advantage. And yet you are on my case. They keep coming back for more. They kept coming back. They came back. Still attacking the priesthood of Aaron. And the Bible says, as they were attacking again, Moses said, all right, no problem. If you feel like Aaron is not called the way God has called him, if you feel like Aaron is not a leader enough for you, whereas it is God who has placed him in this position, let me tell you, go all 12 tribes. Go and get every rod from every house. Make sure that every tribe is represented. Remember, there were 12 tribes in Israel. So he said every tribe is representing, every rod is representing all the families of that tribe. Because God decided to choose from the tribe of Levi. He decided to choose Aaron so that he can be a priest. But then they were murmuring and they rebelled against him. They came back for more. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that Moses said, okay, no problem. Go and get the rods. Because nonke nifuna ukuzizwa amandla. No problem. Bring all your rods. Put them by the presence of God. Somebody say the presence. That's where boys are separated from men. That's when those who have just the certificate without the presence are separated. That's when those who have the skill without the presence are separated. That's when those who have education without the presence are separated. That's when those who have experience without the presence are separated. The Bible says they came with all their rods in the presence and they put them down there. And Moses said, it's not a problem. Let's all go and sleep so that nobody manipulates anything. The Bible says the following day when they approached the presence of God and the rods were there, Aaron's rod had budded. His rod had budded. And let me tell you something. It did not only bud, but a rod, as you may know, just a staff. It is a dry, dead wood. It is a dry, dead log. It is just a dry, dead a branch of a tree. But let me tell you something. Once you are chosen by God, once you are called by God, once you accept your priesthood as a child of God, you have a rod that can bud regardless of whether it is planted or it is not planted. So the rod of Aaron, the Bible says, just as it was there, lying there, just on the floor, but in the presence and approved by God. The Bible says it did not just only bud, but it grew all the stems and it grew each and everything that is supposed to grow. And let me tell you something, it does not end there. It did not just give leaves, but it also gave fruit. It says, the Bible says, when they took the rod of Aaron had budded, and it had also produced ripe almonds. Some time ago, I love this story. Some time ago, I did a research about almonds trees. I'm closing. The Bible says, no, it's not the Bible. I did a research. I did a research, and an almond tree, for it to produce, let alone ripe, when something is ripe, it means you can take it off the tree and eat it. For it just to produce, it takes nothing less than 5 to 12 years. 5 to 12 years before it can produce. But with Aaron, I see a rod part. I see a rod part with Aaron in the presence of the Lord. The rod began. It. All the stages. Protocol was broken for the synthesis and everything else that is involved. So in other words, what did God do? God compressed time. That what was to take 12 years can happen overnight. Under the sound of my voice, Builders Church, these are the days of His power. These are the days of His glory. Let me tell you something, unfruitfulness cannot coexist with the glory of God. Any rod that has not been bearing fruit, I declare time must be compressed in the name of Jesus Christ, that even the time wasted can be the time regained. Overnight you can be able to enjoy the fruit of your talent, the fruit of your calling, the fruit of your gift, the fruit of that thing that God has given you. Oh, Aaron, the rod of Aaron budded. Not only did it bud, but it produced fruit, and fruit that was ripe, and fruit that was ready for consumption. I declare under the sound of my voice that as we declare, these are the days of His glory. As you are the one who is a royal priesthood, as you are the one who qualifies to get into the Holy of Holies, I declare in the name of Jesus that you, not anybody else but you, not your neighbor but you, not the one sitting next to you but you, your rod must part. Shout, my rod part. Come on, shout one more time, my rod part. My rod, you must part. You must part, you must be fruitful. It shut up, Akosaya. Inamokoterebesata. Ilamasoya Zaya. Ikatopa Shata. Rimako Soya. Iva Shotobako. I know it looks like today nothing is coming out of that calling. I know that it looks like today nothing is moving and nothing is happening. I know that today it looks like there is no fruit for you to eat from the calling that God has bestowed upon your life. But I'm here this morning under the open heavens, declaring as the one sent by God, that you have a rod in your hand, and that rod can bud overnight. It does not have to take years. It does not have to take months. It can bud overnight. I see your situation change. I see your circumstance change. Bud, and produce. Bud and produce.
You better produce my certificate. You better produce my degree. You better produce my training. You better produce all my career. You better produce my education. You better produce. You better produce fruit. And it doesn't have to take long. I declare in the days of his glory, I lay down my rod. I lay down my rod. I lay down my rod. Get up, sorry. In a Maya and Yabashaka de Bedebes. It about Sababashan de Bedebesai. Rebashoko Tadabasai. And Amasata Yalabo Shaba Baba Baba Baba. Some of us, we've been coming to church. We've been loving God. But we have not surrendered our rod. When it budded, it was not in his house. When it budded, it was not in his hands. It was in the tabernacle, in the presence. It was in the glory. Why don't you surrender to him this morning? Anything that has not been fruitful. Marriage that has not been fruitful. Education that has not been fruitful. Talents that have not been fruitful. Gifts that have not been fruitful. You know, man, you can do this. But I, man, I ain't take it. Could it be that the rod is still in your hands? Giving you an opportunity by the mercy of God that you may surrender any unfruitful part of your life. His presence is here. Any unfruitful part of your life. What it is producing is not written. Refuse to accept what is not written. Let your rod bud, but it only buds in the presence. Why don't you surrender just for 2 minutes? Here I am, Lord. I've been doing business on my own. Pray. For 2 minutes, I can't surrender it for you. Is useless in your hands, but in the presence it can bud overnight. We are here in the presence of the Lord. We surrender. Come on, pray one more minute. Access into the Holy of Holies. Today we come in with our rods. We come in with our callings, with our giftings, with our talents. We come into your presence and we lay them down. In the name of Jesus Christ, we surrender. Oh, this business that
is not fruitful, we surrender. Let it bud. Let it be fruitful. Let it be fruitful. Let it be fruitful. Come on, pray. 30 more seconds. Hidabasaya Nayala Mashia Labasa Tayala Musha. Hidabosababasha Nerebesi and Aradabosha Yalabasata. Hidabasa Tayandaya Bosha Taya Kasete Remesha Tayala. And the next day, Kedabashande Yebeka Soya. The next day, Kedabasataya. The next day, as we go back to our businesses, the next day, as we go back to our workplaces, the next day, as we go back to our marriages, the next day, as we go back to talk to our children one more time, the next day, the rod of Aaron had budded. The next day, Shande Yasota, if it's God, it is not going to follow protocol. If it is God, it is not going to follow biology. If it is God, it doesn't have to have roots. Oh, it does not have to be connected. It can bud. It can bud. It can bud. The next day Moses entered the tent, and so Aaron's rod, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded. Did not only bud, but it blossomed. Did not only blossom, but it produced almonds. Overnight, 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 we declare a miracle overnight, a sign overnight, a wonder overnight. Come on, one more minute, pray. Ishata by your side, ya by your kato shata. Your rod will part. Your rod will part. Anything can happen anytime. Overnight, your rod can part. Shata your side. Overnight, overnight, I declare a miracle. Overnight, anything, anytime can happen. Overnight, overnight, miracle. Overnight, signs and wonders. Overnight, you can sleep unfruitful and wake up fruitful. You can sleep with no approval and wake up with approval. You can sleep with a no and wake up with a yes. You can sleep with rejection and wake up with acceptance. Overnight, a miracle, a sign, a wonder. Something is pushing me in my spirit. Somebody deserves a breakthrough. Oh, somebody is surrendering. Somebody is surrendering their rod. Washata by your sire. Ekata by your cosette. Shake a secretaramo. I push. I push. I push in the Holy Ghost. Right from the place of the Holy of Holies. Right from the place of His glory. Here is my rod, oh God. Here is my rod, oh God. It's been unfruitful for years. It's been unfruitful for months. It's been unfruitful all my life. Oh, I surrender it to you. I surrender it to your presence. In the name of Jesus. Sheta bakosata. Rekasete brekashata. Rekasata. Sheketa pekaso. Shake your center, back or shatter. Ishato bias.
There are angels all around. Breakthrough is imminent. Breakthrough is imminent. Fruitfulness is here. Shaba kote brekesaya. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you.
Come on, declare this after me, Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for my rod. I am grateful that today you have opened my eyes to see my rod, to see what I carry. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that as I have surrendered my rod to you, Lord, cause it to bud. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can ever ask or think. Father, I pray that even as you have exposed me to your glory and I have surrendered my rod, Lord, I expect a miracle. Lord, I expect a sign. Lord, I expect a wonder. My God, you were able to cause the rod that belonged to Aaron to part overnight. I declare that as I have surrendered my rod in your hands, in your presence, it will part overnight. I don't have to wait. Perform a miracle. Perform a miracle. Perform a miracle. Perform a miracle. Let it part. Let it part. Let it be fruitful. Let Builders Church be fruitful. As you said, be fruitful and multiply. Let this calling, let this mandate be fruitful. Washed up by your side. Ikadaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go home and be expectant. Go to work and be expectant. The rod of Moses was just a rod when it was still in his hand. But as soon as he threw it down, it became a snake. As you have surrendered your rod, it's going to turn into something you've never seen before.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.